In the third chapter of the book of Genesis, the first verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, I want you to notice something here. If you'll notice, in the fifth verse of the third chapter of the book of Genesis, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now notice this. In the 22nd verse, And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. So then God drove him out of the garden. Now, the fifth verse, God said that unless he become as one of us, in the 22nd verse, he confirmed the fact that the man had become as one of them. Now, this morning, I made the statement just a little earlier, that we don't realize the worth of a human being. even people that are sinners that are out yonder in the world, you and I don't realize how great a human being is, even if they are a sinner. A person that's a human being, though they are in sin, and though they are in captivity by Lucifer, and though they are at this moment doing just exactly contrary to God, yet because they are created in the image of God, or was originally created in the image of God, because of this, then they have a supernatural personality. They are of such quality and such ability, even though they're sinners, they have such ability that God Himself, on one occasion, looked down from heaven, and God said, unless I do something to stop mankind, He will actually build a tower in the heaven, and there will be nothing hid from man. There will be nothing hid from man. Now, God did not mean that they would build a tower into the spiritual heavens. There was no way they could do that. So far as getting up into the third heaven with God, but build it until it would tower up into the heavens. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe that man could do that. But to the contrary, man has come back since the days of grace has set in. Man has come back and man has continued where they left off with the Tower of Babel. Man has picked up and man has continued to build until man has gone into the heavens and man has set his foot upon the moon. And now man has surpassed the heavens, or the moon, that is, going on into the heavens. That is the first part of the heavens, he has surpassed it, and gone on into the greater parts of the heavens where the rest of the planetary world is, and is far out among those planets with his intelligence and with his ability. As those satellites and different things sail around out there and bring data back to the earth. It is obvious that what God said is true, that man can do it, and that man is doing it because God said that he would do it. So then, God said man has become as one of us. Satan said to Eve, God, and I'm satisfied he must have warmed it up a little bit when he said it. He no doubt said, God is just selfish, and God just wants to rule over you, and you're underprivileged, you're not like me and God. But if you'll just do what I tell you to do, then your eyes will come open, and then you can be like me and God. I feel sure that Satan had to entice Eve in such a way that he had to let her know that he was also a great thing. Because it could not have just been the serpent talking to Eve. It's obvious that it wasn't just the serpent, that is to say the beast. It wasn't just the beast, it was Lucifer that had gotten a hold of the beast some way. Lucifer, being in heaven, had gotten into the beast some way, and Lucifer was speaking through the beast. Because the Bible tells us that over in the book of John, speaking of Cain, being of the evil one, that's why he slew his brother. Which means that even back there in that day that Lucifer was on the rampage, that back there during that time that Lucifer was around, that Lucifer was in Eden. You know, when we think about Eden, the only way we think about Eden is the Garden of Eden. But there was more to Eden than the garden. The Bible just teaches that in the east part of Eden, that God placed a garden. So then it's obvious that there was more there than perhaps we understand. But Lucifer no doubt said, Eve, if you will just listen at me, do the things that I tell you to do, then you can overcome this feeling of inferiority. And you can be like me. Don't you hear the way I talk? And don't you see there's something superior from me when I talk to you? And all you've got to do is just listen to me. I know about this God thing. You know, and I know the kind of a thing this is. And I know how to explain it to you. And you see, you don't have any power over me to rule me. I do what I want to. And I'm satisfied that he must have warmed everything up to make it look real good, to entice Eve. I don't think he just said, Eve, there's a tree, eat of it. But I think he must have indoctrinated her with lewdness and debased her mind and got it out of the power and control of God, because that was where the sin was. Eating of the fruit wasn't where the sin was. The sin was being enticed by the serpent to the extent that she listened. The Bible said that sin is in the world because of lust, not eating an apple. If you'll check in the Bible doesn't say anything about sin being in the world because of eating some forbidding fruit in the sense of something that grows on a tree. It says sin is in the world because of lust, which means that Eve had to lust, that is, her flesh went contrary to her reasoning in God. The Bible definitely states that sin is in the world because of lust. And the original rendering of the word lust, as we find it, is desire. That is, she let her own personal desire, her own human desire, excel her reasoning or God reasoning. And because of this, she began to look toward this fruit, as we say. And as she began to look toward that, the Bible said she saw that it was good for food. When she saw that it was good for food, then she desired the fruit thereof. Whereas God had forbidden that. You know, there's a lot of things in the world today that's good for food so far as the taste, but they're not good for you. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of things you couldn't eat because they were not good for you. God spoke of not eating those things, and some things back there was typical so that God would not let them eat them, to show us sin of today, of some of the spiritual things that we should abstain from. Some of the things back there being good, God let them eat those things. That is natural Israel, to show spiritual Israel of today the good things, spiritually speaking, that we should feed off of. But the Bible says that Eve saw this, and it was good for food so far as the sight is concerned. Now I want to tell you again today that there's a lot of things that you're going to see that looks like they're good for your appetite. There's going to be a lot of things in life that you're going to see that it's going to look like it's the ideal thing for you to do. One of the things is the world of sports. You're going to see the world of frolic. You're going to see the world a prosperity so far as being gullible, that is the gullible people of this world. You're going to see all of the convenience of life that those that reject God seem to have. And a lot of things that you look at, they're going to look like they're good for food. Well, that is to say that you've got five human senses that are hungry and must be satisfied. You've got human passions that hunger and thirst after human relation and things of this world. And those appetites must be fed. And the Bible said that Eve looked upon this tree
And what she saw said it looked good to her sight. And it was good for food so far as she was concerned. This was good food so far as she was concerned. But folks, I say this so many times, you cannot lean to your own understanding. The Bible tells us not to lean to our own understanding, but to trust in God with all of our heart. Here we are in this world. We've got our own human understanding that we're born with from birth, but we cannot trust it. It has betrayed men down through the years. It's still betraying mankind. Man leans to his own understanding and he tries to figure it out. And every time he thinks he's got everything just right, all of a sudden it ends up in a calamity. It ends up in mass confusion. It ends up in war. It ends up in terror. It ends up in problems. Even scientists with all of their brilliance, leaning to their own understanding and the tree of knowledge, look at what they've done, the things that they've come up with. It's a destructive sort of a thing. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, had it not been for science, we wouldn't have the convenience of electricity. And we wouldn't have the convenience that we have today. No, that's not true. And I know that's true in the sense that the word science means knowledge. I know that it takes some knowledge. And God has not left us ignorant. He has given us some knowledge. But there's several kinds of knowledge. One is the God knowledge. One is the human knowledge, which relates back to the beast. And one is a satanic knowledge, which relates to the angels and that of the fallen angels. So then, scientists has gone beyond what God intended for them to do. You say, where do you get that, Brother Pike? The Bible said, multiply, replenish the earth. He said, subdue the earth, multiply, and replenish the earth. He never said anything about messing with the heavens. He said, heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. You multiply, you replenish the earth, and you subdue the earth, and you have dominion over the earth. And that the meek should inherit the earth. He didn't say anything about the other. There's not but one people that's supposed to inherit the heavens, and that is the sons and daughters of God, the spiritual generation. And anybody else going up there, the Bible teaches that they're climbing up the wrong way and they're not going in by Jesus Christ, the door, which is the true knowledge of God, and that they're going in by a satanic mind and a satanic means. And God said, though you climb up to heaven and set your foot on the moon, I'll let it be blown out from under you, and I'll cast you back down to hell. And I'll cast the stars and moon and everything else out of heaven to get rid of you. I'll shake the heavens till you fall out, he said. I'll shake the heavens, Lucifer, until the stars fall out and you fall out with it. So then when we consider this, we realize that scientists is not responsible, that is, in their extreme strides, they're not responsible for man's convenience. For instance, when you look back at men like Benjamin Franklin and some of the others that hope to bring about some of the benefits of today, you realize that through a freak thing, as the world would call it, and yet it wasn't a freak thing in the sight of God, it was the act of God. Through these things, God made known the things that would bring us convenience. For instance, just a little experimental thing, a little simple thing, like a string, maybe with a key on it and a kite in the air, and through the foolish and abased thing of the world, God brought forth electricity. Somebody would say, now, see, there you are. Man gave us electricity. I want you to know that electricity has been flashing around in the elements ever since the world was. Ever since God started the world, He had electrical bolts flying around up there. He put them up there so we could use them at the right time. As a matter of fact, He even uses the symbol of Satan being cast out of heaven by that. And I've even spoke of it having to do with Benjamin and having to do with the discovery of electricity, having to do with the key, a little simple thing. But yet the revelation of Christ being so great and so mighty in the simplicity of these things that happen around us, even historical things. There when we speak of Benjamin, or we speak of that which was the brother of Joseph, or we speak of the tribe that is yet to come in. It was Benjamin down in Egypt when he came down that brought the blessings of God. And Joseph did not allow the blessings till Benjamin came. It was when they entered into the new world, as we call it, coming here into America, that the great discovery was made. And it was with a little simple thing. Whereas Jesus gave a key to Peter and said, the door is open in heaven. And the old kite that we used to make as a boy with the little sticks that we crossed to make a cross of hanging between heaven and earth. Therefore, hanging between heaven and earth, Jesus, a door open in heaven and giving us the key. Giving us the key to open the door between heaven and earth and giving us the lifeline of the little string. Giving it to us through the Jews, and that the Bible said salvation is of the Jews. And bringing it down to us in that the Bible said that now has come light, and the condemnation of mankind is that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And today we enjoy the light that God has given us. Therefore all things are of God. God has given us light. God has given us light through the cross, through Calvary. If I be lifted up, then I'll draw all men unto me. Therefore, the flying of the little kite indicated Calvary and the door open in heaven through the key. And down the little line, the connection to earth, came the electrical current, which brought light. For Jesus said when he went away, I am the light of the earth. I go away, and now ye are the light of the earth. Therefore, God has given many lights in the earth today, that we might be the light of the earth. All of these lights here at little Bethlehem. There's numbers of different kinds of lights. Why? Because it represents the end gathering at the end time. We've got lights from all different parts of the world here. It's different makes from different parts of the world. God put them together because it represents the coming together of the body of Jesus. As it was in the days of Solomon, when Solomon built the house, they had hewn out the stone. Maybe part of the building was in one place, part of the building in another place. But there came a specific moment when God gathered all of those stones together, and they being fitly framed together made the building of the temple of God in that day. Paul said, ye are God's building, fitly framed together, growing up into a holy priesthood, an habitation for God, he said, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone thereof. Paul said, I am a wise master builder because I have the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now then, gathering together the people of the end time, therefore we see, as it is written in the Scriptures, and this agrees with the Holy Scripture, the writer said, and I will return in the last days, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. I thought about it this morning as I came in. There was some spiritual things taking place. As a matter of fact, I have a pair of shoes that I'm wearing this morning. It had to do with the boat. You remember the revelation of the ship that we bought? It has to do with the boat. Betty had bought me a pair, and I had used them on the boat. I got them real dirty, So Brother Conrad, he had a pair of them. David had a pair. I had little different ones. When I got ready to leave, Brother Conrad had not worn his, not got his dirty, so he gave them to me. He took mine and gave me his. They were clean, nice and clean. They had a great spiritual meaning. They're called kinsman shoes. Going back to the redemption of the body of the boat, going back to the soul redemption, the preparation of the gospel, which has to do with the foot, in that the soul is there. Again, I say the foolish and abase things of the world to confound the wise, God hiding himself in the simple things of life, that he might be hid from the eyes of the wise and the prudent, that they might ever be learning and never be able to find God. That the common people of those that are down in the lower side of life, as we say, on the lower levels of life, that they might just stumble across it in the simplicities of life. God, that is, might, that he might make it revelation to babes such as would learn. Babes, that means those that are not great intelligence in the earth. Great intellectuals. If you're not intellectually great, you're referred to as babes among men. So then God brings the revelation to babes, those that are great and intelligent and mightily learned. They know too much already. God can't tell them anything. Everything he tries to tell them spiritually, they try to define it naturally, and God runs into a problem. So he says, not many mighty are called, whereas there is some few that, like Paul, will say, I count all my learning as dung, that they might find this wonderful knowledge that excels their foolishness, that they refer to as education or intellectual reasoning. So then, having these shoes on, getting back to the theme of our thought here, having these shoes on this morning, the reason I have them is because I had to send over to the house of David my son and get these shoes. David had taken them. I come home with them. I brought them home and I had them in there, and I decided not to wear them until the springtime because they're a cloth type shoe. So this morning when I looked for them, I couldn't find them. And the Sister Betty, intending for me to wear them, she sent over and she got them. So when they brought them back, I believe Susie or some of them went and got them for me. And that's something, because they just come down from the house of David and Sister Elaine and her husband and them being here. You know, that's really something, because we were speaking about what it had to do with Dale Starr and David Allen anyway. But anyway, here we stand with the shoes on this morning, ministering the gospel. And having these shoes on, how have you got time to listen just a minute to this morning? Having these shoes on, it reminds me of what the Bible said, and I will return in the last day, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. Now, yesterday, you know, Brother Jim, myself, Brother Don, and Brother Taylor, we'd been up down there all night long down in the printing room. I've been trying to get something done. It is night before last. And then we was up all day yesterday, didn't get any sleep until last night. Well, the Lord was doing something. We were doing something that pertained to the government that relates back to a little election that took place back a long time back and before winter, and that had to do with something that took place on the 4th of July here one year, along about that time. So then, this morning, after I had been able to get a little sleep, the shoes came in. But just prior to that, before I lay down yesterday, long about night, I had started down to the building. I'd come home for just a few minutes. Now, we hadn't left down there. We stayed with our project until after 4 o'clock in the evening, because it took us all evening, all night, and over till 4 the next evening to be able to get what we was doing done. Now, the Bible said quit like a man, which means quit when you get done. And that's the only way I know to do. Brother Atlee used to get aggravated with me out here on this building because, you know, when we get the building, I just build, we work, work, work. And Aunt Lizette said, it's dinner time, it's supper time, it's breakfast time, you know. And me and Betty, we'd been out on the road so much that we didn't know breakfast from dinner from supper. We didn't know. We just eat whenever it come around, and that was it. And we went on doing what we was doing until it come around. If it didn't come around, well, we didn't take no more thoughts about it, because we knew that sooner or later to get there. And you actually get to where you don't even think about it, you know. See, Brother Atlee, he'd get kind of aggravated with me, because it seemed to me like it was always time to eat. It seemed to me like he never did get started working before it was time to eat. And you know, people eat breakfast, they eat dinner, they eat supper. By the time they eat breakfast and take off for dinner and eat supper, well, they might as well not even go out to work, as far as I'm concerned, because all their time is taken to eat and going to and fro to eat. But anyway, that's the world, you know. So we had to get the job done. And Brother Jim and him, they were game enough to stay there with me, so we got the job done. When we got the job done, it was after 4 o'clock the next evening. Now, I finally went home just for a few minutes, freshened up a little bit. I come back, and as I started down into the lower part of the basement, which had to do with the resurrection, I brought it out. I got it on tape here somewhere. We tell how the lower part of that basement down there or that building has to do with the resurrection. It's really something. You never heard it. And as I started by Tom, Brother Tom Merritt's office is on the right, just as you start through the door. So I started in the door there, and I noticed Tom's door was open, so I stepped into his office, and Tom said something to me, and I believe him and Brother Raymond was there together. Brother Raymond from Marysville, it was just a perfect setting. The accountant, thou shalt give an account thereof. You know what I said about Brother J.C. Ward, the accountant, J.C. Jesus Christ. Remember that, the things that happened concerning that. Now, I know this won't make sense to some of you because, you know, we'd have to go into it and detail it and bring out a lot of things that we've already detailed, and we've got it on tapes here, about 1,000 tapes that explains it like putting a puzzle together. But I'm saying it in a compact manner because we don't have time to go into all of it and detail it. And you that are here at Little Bethlehem, you understand anyway. Some of them that are seeing here out there, they won't understand what we're saying. But if they come over to Little Bethlehem, we got plenty of folks that can explain it. All right, so then here Tom spoke to me. Tom said, hey, Brother Pye, said, here is a stone that come from the cave over at Green's Mill, Brother Branham's cave. You remember when they couldn't find that cave and the Lord spoke to us about the cave, and then Brother Grady had a vision that we went over to Green's Mill looking for the cave, and sure enough, we went over to Green's Mill and God showed me where the cave was. All right, I found the cave, and then they brought back some stones, and my brethren cleaned it out during the time we was having a revival in Indiana, Jeffersonville, Indiana, the tent meeting, and they would come back. Tom gave me the stone there. I took the stone on in. I went on in. I had tried to open the door, and I couldn't get either one of the doors open. And when Tommy gave me the stone, all of a sudden, Brother Sister Gill's little girls and somebody else came up, and they came up to the door, and they just opened the door, turned a knob, and opened the door, and went right in. And I was amazed, because I tried my best to get the door open. I thought I tried my best, and the door wouldn't come open. So they just opened the door, and I just followed them right on in. And they were so cute standing there, you know, in their long dresses. And I thought, now, I know I tried to open that door, and I couldn't get that door open. And I thought, now, what are you trying to tell me, Lord? And then I thought about it. See, we had been up all night long, been working on this thing that has to do with the government and whatever, and our government here at Bethlehem, the Brotherhood. And I thought, now, what is this? And then I remembered that Brother Gerald Whitlow, and some of the others, they had, I don't know who, just two, Brother Benny Carroll, I believe, for one hole. But they had went over the floor and kind of shellacked the floor in, or that is, they'd glorified it. They'd use some kind of sealer on the floor, and they'd seal the floor in. They'd put a new green down, you know, a new covering, and then they had sealed the floor in. They'd glorified it. And there it was, the doors had been locked up, and we'd been there with it all night long during that time that they glorified. All right, there we was. So then, we come out that morning, and then when we come out that morning, see, the Brother Bill York and the different ones was putting that sign down here on the coach. Remember, Reuben the firstborn, the coach, coming out of Waycross, the storm that we run into, coming back from Miami. Remember the angel came, Jesus put the ring on my finger in Miami, and he would come back in that little twin engine. Remember, being caught in the cloud, the casting out of Lucifer, the grand dragon walking through Monroe, all those things that we got on tape here, we explain all of it. The casting out of the dragon, remember that? Talking about the lightning, Jesus said, I beheld Satan his lightning fall from heaven. Benjamin Franklin, remember the kite, the discovering of electricity, the new world, all this. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right, now here it was at the doorway, and we was fixing to go into the doorway, and I couldn't get in. And there it was, see, having to do with the tomb being sealed, the glorification, all of this. And all of a sudden, here, Brother Tommy Merritt, there he is. See, now, he has the stone from the cave. When we was up there, remember that had to do with the resurrection. Remember how you dug it open? We went there, me and Brother Bradley, and rolled the stone away down that big hill. And there at the cave, it had to do with the resurrection. Then, you remember the brethren going out to the cave? Brother Jared Lambert, I believe, and Sister Lambert, and some of them went out to the cave. Well, here was a beautiful picture. I took the stone. As I took the stone, the little girls came up, like early to the tomb, and here the little ladies went right on in. They just walked right on in. And I went in with them, and when I went in with them, I went around here, and Chuck was laying on the sofa around where the light wasn't there. Now, you know, scientists consider Chuck dead from his waist down. And there was laying on the sofa. Now, something happened a few days ago that had to do with Chuck, had to do with Charles, had to do with Brother Charlie Elliott, which also has to do with Charles, and Charles going away in the death of the resurrection of my brother, Sister Eileen, being here right now. Now, I have the stone, took it in, was laid over there on the sofa. And that sofa's fixing to get a new job done on it anyway. It's fixing to be recovered. I really see something in that. It's supposed to have to do with the same covering concerning my coach. There sat Brother Bill Cartred, sitting there, back to Cartred, a little book. There he sat on the side of the sofa with Chuck. And I hand-billed that stone, great big stone, hand to Matt Stone, and we were standing there talking. About that time, Brother Paul Stone came around. The one had done our announcing for a long time. And Brother Bill York, that I said always reminded me of the one that had to do with the angel. And something happened down here one day that had to do with the angel, what I understood. They're out there cutting that sign out, putting that seal. Remember, he seals the body of the redemption. When the resurrection comes, we're born into the kingdom of God. We're buried in baptism with him. Then comes the resurrection, receive the Holy Ghost, the seal. I said, this is the resurrection, the seal. And on goes the seal on the vehicles, which is the name on the firstborn, the child being born, giving it a name, giving it a title at this moment. Brother Bill coming down from up yonder in Tennessee. We spoke about the virgins and the 10 virgins and Marysville. And we talk about the virgin, talk about the thing that had to do with that on the showdown. Brother JT and him being here a few days ago, coming in from the Virgin Islands. And Brother David Allen talked about him coming down here like he did, the marriage supper. And here is his son-in-law down here today. And speaking of the coach and Reuben, the firstborn, speaking of these shoes. And Brother Conrad going out west and George Jr. being out there. And Brother Bob Wells coming in. In the last few days in here, wanting that tent, the voice, the sounding of the last angel, the voice of the trumpet coming out of Houston down there where the stones are. And here is the coach out here, then putting that seal on it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the Ark of the Covenant, and JT saying it being here, and the little boys of the last few days making the Ark of the Covenant. And the other day, while he's putting his sign on there with the Bible open, on that car that JT rode with me in the presidential car, riding with me, going over yonder, here all of a sudden they come out that with this little Ark of the Covenant, bringing the Ark of the Covenant, the little Lambert boy and the little Armstrong boy. Here they come out there bringing the Ark of the Covenant to me. And Brother Taylor said, Brother Pike, that's your Ark of the Covenant. All right, now, when we see all these things taking place the way it is, the resurrection, there was that stone, I took it back there, Brother Paul's stone, the stone being rolled away. Okay, I left from there about that time, speaking to the house of David. I believe, I'm not sure, little David or some of them come in. They wanted me to go around, David, I believe it was, little David Durden, come in, wanted me to go around the building with him. Going back to Brother Cobb's, the new harvest now, the crossing of the Jordan. Joshua crossed over to the other side of Jordan. Now, we went around over here, come around this way, got back in the back, and I was standing there, and I looked, and I was disappointed because they hadn't dug out this little thing that it's a little runway that goes down, coming down from the building, going down into where we dug it out for the new building. And I was standing there, and I thought, Lord, they ain't never going to dig this thing out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been waiting for weeks and weeks. And I thought, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And something said, well, why don't you just dig it? And I said to the brother, I said, well, it just ain't going to get done. The only way to do it is just get down there and dig it. I was a little tired from the night before, but I got me a pick and a shovel. I got down there and I started digging. And sure enough, I dug. And after digging a little while, first thing you know, there's another in there and another in there and another in there. And the first news you know, they had the whole thing dug out. And today it's dug out. Everything's just fine. Things all dug out. But when I got in there, there was a big piece of cement that broke off of the sidewalk. Remember, there had been a whole slab across there, just like a grave. It had been taken off. They had broke it off. And one of the major persons that helped was Brother Terry Lambert. Going back to the Lamb, it was broke off. Now, here was a great end of that was broke off, and it had fallen down in there and was covered over with the dirt. And when we got in there, we run into it. And somebody said, well, you can't move it unless you get a lift of some kind. But something said to me, said, just throw your pick in there. You can move it. I throw the pick in there. When it did, it began to move. So then we flipped it over, got a piece of board and moved it around here, and then picked up the end of it and gave it a flip, and out it went. One or two, three, I don't know how many of us was grabbed it with us there, and wasn't but a few minutes, and then flipped it out, and it was gone. But anyway, I thought again. I heard a voice say, digging the grave, the resurrection, the stone rolled away. Just like the stone from the cave. The stone at Bethlehem, the grave is open, the stone is rolled away. The resurrection from the dead. And then, along with the other things that had taken place, which had been so many multiplied things, Brother Andrews coming down from Murfreesboro. See, these benches belong to Billy here. We bought them from Billy. Now, they come from that tabernacle. Billy is not a Tennessee boy. Billy is a Georgia boy from Ball Ground, Georgia. Well, Billy follows that thing of Brother Branham. He was up at Brother Woodruff's when we saw him years ago when he had crashed up and he had lost his ministry and didn't have nothing. And we was talking to him when we saw this little light over his head. And we spoke to Billy in the name of the Lord and told him what God was going to do for him. And he set him on fire. And since then, he has just covered so many multiplied churches till I just lose number of them, trying to tell you. He's preached to people, thousands of people. And Billy coming down here, coming on that very day, having to do with the child. That having to do with the man child, that was the man child. Remember him, he's a Georgie boy. Having to do with the man child, how do you remember that vision or the revelation we spoke of about the girl that was up at Murfreesboro or in that area that went out to a spring that actually swallowed a serpent? A little serpent from the spring that grew inside of it. How do you remember that? And we spoke of it and what it had to do with that area up there. And how that she was delivered of that thing. And how it had to do with Brother Branham. And that thing that they got off on about the message of the serpent. The wild thing they got off on. Anyway, Billy come down. When Billy come down here, where was he headed? Heading to China. Going to the land of the dragon, as we say. Red Communist China going over to the land of communism, or that is the area going to the land of the dragon, the man-child being caught up to the throne, here these seven candlesticks, here at Little Bethlehem, being caught up here first to the throne, as we say, and then being caught up here, then going from here, going over to China, having to do with the casting out of the dragon, the trip that we made, see, coming back from Miami, the storm we went through, the little twin engine, the lightning, I beheld Lucifer fall from heaven. You know, the dragon walking around in Monroe, that is the grand dragon, the Ku Klux, that kind of thing. Remember what we had to say about it? So then Billy coming here first. And then there was, as we say, the son of Peter, Peterson, going back to the Keys again. And we gave Brother Peterson, while he was here, that amplifier. What's the name of it, Bill? The Peavey. We gave it to him while he was here, which was an open door to him. It come from under the tent, remember, Jeffersonville, Indiana, and whatever. Andrew, you remember Andrew? Simon Peter? See how everything fits together in the brotherhood, Billy and Brother Branham's name being Bill, or they called him Bill or Billy, and how that him coming here as a resurrection in that Bill has just had a heart attack about 3 or 3.5 years ago, and he said he felt better than he ever felt in his life. And he said, I've been preaching Brother Branham's message about 14 years, and he's talked like he's just now beginning to understand what the man said. And said, the Brother Branham follows out you, and I said, they don't understand what that man said. He's preached all around for them, preached at conventions, and he said, they don't understand what they're preaching. Said, I myself am just beginning to understand it. Now, why is that? Because there was a veil. I said, when Brother Branham died, I said, them people don't understand what they're preaching. It went into the Moses veil of the intellectual quotes, and Lee veil took over, which had to do with it. That was the covering of it, of the Ark of the Covenant. Brother J.T. breaching it over, and then the veil was to be rent here, which Brother David here, Brother David Hauser, we speak of the house eternal in the heavens, Brother David Hauser, the house of David got up here and said the veil is rent. We spoke of the fountain open in the house of David and what Brother Fontaine done the other night, what it had to do with. Now then, Brother Billy, being in a resurrection like, the veil coming off, the veil being rent, Calvary, Johnny being over here at that time, as I said, at Hard Labor Creek, where we got the message on the rent veil, Johnny going at the same time down to Little White House, where they said something about we'd beat Jimmy to the draw, remember? Down at the Little White House, Johnny got the information, or they told him to go down to the Little White House while he was over at Hard Labor Creek. Got the invitation to go there and bid on it at Hard Labor Creek. Now, the rent veil, the travail, the child being born, David said the veil is rent in twain. That very night, all this happening, then the following, remember how we had the clause up here. The clause, God took the spirit of Moses and put it upon the people, which was the spirit of Christ upon the people, prophet like unto Moses. Here, grace come over and anointed me and Betty, which had to do with the anointing of the Most Holy when the millennium comes in. The anointing of the throne. Like Brother Billy Andrews, he come over here and sat down over where they got that word king. Sat down that chair over there. When he sat down there and a little while, he sat there and then he got up. And then when I said something over here about what the throne was being caught up with, to the throne, I looked and Billy was back over there in that chair. But anyway, I'm trying to say that the veil was over that. Brother Lee veil, the covering. Remember in the Old Testament when they went to move the Ark of the Covenant, even the ones that moved it could not look at it. They had to back up this way and take the veil and lay it over the... They back up, they take it down and back up and lay it over the Ark of the Covenant this way. They couldn't look at it. When they back up and pick it up and hook it back up, the same way, they couldn't look at the Ark. No man can see God and live. It represented God. So then JT saying the Ark being here. The Ark of the Covenant. The little one's making the Ark at this time. Leave veil and the veil going over it. After Brother Branham's death, all of a sudden leave veil has just lost interest. What is it? The veil being rent. Brother Palmer, going back, just a name now. No reflection to these men. God uses everybody in the natural, uses everybody in the spiritual. Going back to the Palmer, or the Palmer worm. I spoke of it concerning Brother Clyde Cobbs, the wreck at the crossroads, like Calvary. The Palmer worm, or Mr. Palmer come out to pick up the car, having to do with his folks, being down yonder at Brother Palmer's. I will restore that the Palmer worm got, the years that the locust and the Palmer worm got. Then there was another one, a fellow by the name of Iverson. Brother Iverson, Jack Palmer, Ned Iverson, Lee Vail was the three major figures in the Brother Branham's strife. Whereas Brother Billy said the other day, they're just all gone so far as being major figures anymore. Now, Ned Iverson, just speaking not against Ned now, but just of what names have to do with. We say ivy or poison. Death. Bring poison. The vine, the entanglement, the wilderness. See, all three of these had to do with something. But now the veil is rent. The vine is gone. Now the restoration is here from that which has been, the Palmer worm has got. See, God has restored. Those boys didn't understand. It was just the Billy Paul side of it, which was quotes, which related back to Brother Branham's natural individual person. But now it's the Joseph side of it, which don't have to do with the Baptist woman Hope, but Billy Paul being the son there of the Baptist woman, the woman of bondage, in that she didn't have the Holy Ghost. Now, when we speak it like that, but on this side, we speak of the free woman that had the Holy Ghost. And I don't know, Sister Hope may have had the Holy Ghost. I know she spoke of the Holy Ghost. But I'm speaking of the Baptist woman coming from the Baptist church. What it had to do with. Now here's the free woman, the Pentecostal woman, which had to do with Joseph that represented the free son, like Abraham, the bond son and the free son. All allegoric types. The Joseph side, the veil being rent, that is to say the quotes being taken away. And as the Bible said, the first one that opens the matrix, the firstborn being holy unto God. And so then we see this as Calvary, the coming forth of the child, the birth of the child. And we see that the stone has been rolled away. We see this wonderful thing that is taking place in the resurrection. Lucifer being cast out, the rent veil. And the revelation of the Lord coming forth, like I said, concerning Reuben, the firstborn, the coach. And now, we never done this before, but we're putting the tags, the labels, or the nameplates on the different coaches, all the different things, to show that a child is born. For when a child is born, you give it a name. And so then it's receiving a name. And our people are coming forth, like out, you know, in a resurrection. Some of them are not coming forth. But the Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death had no power. Some of them are still dead. They're going to remain dead. They're caught away in the lust of this world, and the evil of this world, and the foolishness of this world. But see, it's the rapture taking place for the saints. Because the rest of the world isn't going to come forth. They're just churchy and they're religious. And another thing that's really allegoric, I thought, you take like T.L. Larry. T.L. Larry to me is a wonderful person. T.L., I feel that he'll finally come right on into Jesus' name. I believe he's making preparations for it right now. He's been with the Church of God for a long time, been an assistant overseer. All of a sudden, he's leaving that. He come to the highest place he could come in the Church of God. And I don't mean this wrong, but I feel like that he'd have been overseer if it hadn't have been for some jealousy and some people that kept him out because of the afraid of him. But anyway, he's coming out of that, and he's moving from where he's at in Tennessee, going over to Washington to take a little church that ain't got about 50 people up there. See, now I see something. Being caught up to the throne. The man child again, being caught up to the throne. See, he didn't go into the leadership of becoming the overseer because the son has to do with second in command, as we say. And yet, T.L. was carrying the thing from his ministry, saying that the son and the father's one. But being caught up from it means the days of the Church of God is over and finished. See, it's over. The church being raptured, caught up to Washington. T.L. had been fasting. I believe he was on about a 40 or 50 day fast. And after about 30 days, the Lord told him what to do. He left and went to Washington. There he is, seeing Washington. He's the one that helped us get our Jesus' name translation for the Greek tract that we've got. He's been down here to visit with us. He said he never seen such love as among these brethren right here in a church. Now see, everything, God working everything that way. The dividing of the mountain, Cleveland, Tennessee, the splitting in the half, having to do with our people from Cleveland right here. We spoke of White County and Cleveland, a number of things that took place up there concerning George Jr., Brother Denny McLean, and Brother Willie, and Brother Richard, and a number of others that had to do with Cleveland, Georgia. We could go on and go on telling you the wonderful things of God and talking about this wonderful revelation that just reaches up all the way into the great wonderful heavens of God. It explores the earth. It explores everything beneath the earth. It explores the heavens and everything beyond the galaxies. So wonderful is it. It's unbelievable, joy unspeakable, and full of glory. So then it brings in the house of David. What is the house of David? Just like Susie and Dale getting married. Brother David Allen bringing in the house of David. In this, bringing in the house of David, it has to do with Brother Branham, because Brother Branham had to do with David. Right now, Brother Oral Roberts is talking about folding up because of, said he might have to go bankrupt. See, because it is a new thing that's taking place. And the old thing is going out. There's something that's happening that has to do with Brother Roberts and has to do with PTL and Pat Roberts and all these others. They think they know where they're going, but we know where they're going because God's already showed us where they're going. Some of us say, oh, you're just vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind, Brother Pike. No, I'm not talking about my mind. I lost my mind a long time ago. I died and was buried through the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said, reckon yourself, Brother Pike, to be dead by the body of Jesus. And they buried me, and it's not me living but Jesus. And the Bible said he's got an unction from the Holy One that he should know all things. Therefore, Jesus said, what my Father's made known unto me, I've made known unto you. All right, so then, shall I hide these things from Abraham, seeing that he'll command his household after him? Abraham was the friend of God. If you be a friend of God, he'll tell you something. The Holy Ghost will show you things to come. But anyway, when we see these things, Brother David Allen, there's Dale Starr, him and Susie being one now. Susie already having been to Israel. Dale, the still, in the eye, going back to the man child, going back to the word of God, which is called a rod of iron, ruling with a rod of iron. He that overcometh the name of the Lord Jesus, the seal in the forehead. Going back to that that happened the other night that had to do with the rapture here, when they were screaming around the altar. Some of them went into the kingdom, welcome to heaven, those things that we said. Going back to those things. Dale going over to Israel, the man child, the day star, his name Dale Star, the marriage supper, and then caught up to the throne, Israel. God doing that right at the time that he's caught up to the throne. What is it? It's the rapture of the church. What does it do? It brings Gog and Magog. It brings on the battle. What is this cross between Reagan right now and San Salvador and those other places that have to do with communists? What is it? See, the battle is raging. God's just got them angels holding back the four winds right now till he seals all of his servants in the foreheads, or that is, until he brings Israel in. He's just bringing Israel in. As soon as he gets Israel in, then he'll turn those bums loose from all four winds, from all four corners of the earth, all the nations. Every one of them will come together and fight, bringing in the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon. Why are the stars lining up right at the very time that Dale goes over to Israel? Why did they start lining up, the planets that is? Why do they start lining up now and then line up more in the middle of the year about a camp meeting? And then at the fall of the year, about time for the tribulation to come in and the type with winter. Why is it all of a sudden that these things happen like that and then winter starts coming in like that? What is that? See, there's something taking place. The Lord God of heaven is moving. The great Holy Spirit is moving in the earth. Something is taking place. And God is moving in the heart of mankind. And this thing is swelling out in a great and in a mighty way. See, do we see it? Brethren, the revelation of Jesus Christ is the rapture of the church. It's the translation of the church. That's why John was caught up into the heaven. He had the revelation. That's why Paul was caught up into the third heaven. He had the revelation. See, have you got the revelation? Are you praying that God will give you the spirit of revelation? There's a great thing taking place. And so then we see the house of David coming in. As a matter of fact, it's like Elaine and the husband, Terry back here, talking about moving down here. And even Shirley said she's going to come too. Scotty, he's talking about coming down. And even Dale's talking about coming down. You can't ever tell. Even David's liable to come down. He's got a lot at stake right now. He's got two cleaners up there. And he's got a job to do. But you never know. You never know what's going to happen. You can't ever tell. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying. Right now, the millennium coming in. The house of David coming in. America being over. The government being changed to the government that we spoke of that has to do with little Bethlehem government, which is the government of God, of Almighty God. Nobody can stop that. You love Jesus? Well, as the song said, we could go on and go on talking about this good old way. It said, let's go on talking about the Lord. You know, I feel like I'm about half finished. About half finished. You know, the half has never yet been told. But what we'll do, we'll try to say a little more tonight if the Lord is willing. How do you believe there's something happening? There's a whole lot more things that we could say this morning, but we took up quite a bit of time with the singing, so then I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Now then, I love you. I care for you. And that's why that I'm always trying to share with you the few little things here and there that the Lord is kind enough to share with me. And folks, there's no little things. You know, they're unbelievably great. But I say that Paul said, speaking after the infirmity of mankind, according to your flesh, people esteem worldly things to be great, you know. But truthfully, something great is taking place in heaven. How do you see these things in heaven? I want to see your hand if you see these things in heaven. See, I believe that. When I had that vision a number of years ago, nobody couldn't see them things. But I believe there's some people that are seeing some things in heaven. You say, what is heaven, Brother Pike? The Spirit? When you see things taking place in spirit, Jesus said, I do always the things I see the Father do. They didn't see the Father with his natural eyes because you can't see God as a man with eye nerves. You see him through the understanding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. People saying, you know, this ain't a Brother Branham, and this ain't like Brother Branham. Brethren, I don't mean this wrong, because I love Brother Branham. Brother Branham, to me, was one of the greatest men that ever lived on earth. But today, this excels what Brother Branham had. This excels what Paul had, and what Abraham had, and what Peter had. You say, you can't prove that by the Bible. I certainly can.
The Bible said the end of a matter is better than the beginning. Paul testifies that that was the beginning of the age of the Gentiles. How many of you believe this is the end of the age? Okay, the Bible proves it's better. It's got to be. It's more enlightening. It isn't better in the sense that they had the same thing we've got. Jesus is just as good back there as he is now. But I'm talking about better in the sense that there's more of it. You know, you get a bite of pudding. Somebody, they get a whole bowl of pudding. They say, boy, mine's better. You can't deny that. They got more of it. So then we got more of it. Even a lot of things that Brother Branham desired to see. Many multiplied things that Brother Branham desired to see. Right now, I would guarantee you that if Brother Branham had the opportunity, that he'd love to get one of you fellas off and talk to y'all for a few hours and let you do the talking. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, I'll even do better than that. If old Brother Elijah was around, he'd love to have got some of you fellas off and got you to done some talking. Of course, now Elijah went into glory, you know. He's seen a lot of things. But I'll guarantee he'd like to have got you around. Yes, sir. You love Jesus? Did you know that John the Revelator, he would love to have understood some of these things you're understanding. And John was caught up into the third heaven, into the revelation up into heaven. Paul was caught up into the third heaven. So when Paul was caught up into the third heaven, it wasn't nothing he didn't understand. Well, why was it he made the statement like he did? He made that statement, said, whether in my body or out of my body, said, I never did figure it out. I can't tell. You love Jesus. The old carnal mind ain't as smart as it thinks it is it? Just thinks it's smart. That stream is flowing down from Calvary. That stream is flowing and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, that stream is flowing down from Calvary. We will enter his gates with thanksgiving in the heart. We're gonna enter his courts with praise. Say, the day that the Lord hath made, we're gonna rejoice, for he hath made us glad. Jesus made me glad, oh, he hath made us glad. I'm gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. He hath made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter his courts with praise. I'm going to say, this is the day that my Lord hath made. I'm gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. He hath made me glad. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. How many of you has Jesus made glad this morning? Going to enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart and enter into his courts with praise, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. I like that song David sings, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Let's sing a verse of that, can we? God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God put a rainbow in my cloud. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Well, it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore. God put a rainbow in my cloud. David, while we're singing this, I want you to come down here and help me with it, will you? God put that rainbow in my soul. Oh, God put a rainbow in my soul. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God showed me those streets of gold. Oh, God put a rainbow.
Well, God put a rainbow in my cloud. When it looked like that the sun wasn't gonna shine anymore, then God put a rainbow in my cloud. Did God put a rainbow in your cloud? Did God put a rainbow in your cloud? Well, it looked like that the sun wasn't gonna shine anymore. Did God put a rainbow in my cloud? Well, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Well, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Well, it looked like that the sun wasn't gonna shine anymore. Then God put a rainbow in my cloud. Did God put a rainbow in your cloud? Did God put a rainbow in your cloud? Well, it looked like that the sun wasn't gonna shine anymore, but God put a rainbow in my cloud.